Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks, welcome to another edition here of Krantz's Corner Presents, the Jacori Harris Show. We have Jacori here on video. If you're watching on video, if you're on the podcast listening to us, you'll hear Jacori here in just a second. We're going to get to a couple things here on the podcast today. Obviously, National Recruiting Day just happened in the last couple of days, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And obviously, we're going to get to it right here, right now. We're going to break down a little of the Syracuse game, but there's not much to break down outside the fact they lost and they are now out of the playoffs somehow, some way. Alabama snuck in with a bag of cash. We'll just say that at this point here. But let's bring Jacori Harris in for the Jacori Harris Show. Jacori, welcome to your own show. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit bummed out because I thought this week we'd be talking about who they're playing. The Hurricanes are going to play in the playoff and they have the ACC championship coming up. We are not then and there yet. We're going to get to that in just a second. I want to talk a little bit about the Syracuse game. They put themselves in a bad spot, really bad spot. When you're up 21-0 on a team and you end up losing the game 42-38, that's a bad loss. And to have that bad loss in the last week of the regular season, right before they kind of announced playoff spots and put you in position, terrible way to end the season for the Hurricanes. A nice magical season. We've been talking about it since 2 weeks before or 3 weeks before the season even started, previewing this and what Cam Ward and what this team is going to look like. Your first initial thoughts on a loss, and we'll go from that to into the playoffs stuff and the ACC stuff.
Well, first of all, you know, my Thanksgiving was kind of cut short because, you know, usually you have leftovers until maybe Sunday, Monday. Saturday, I was so depressed. I threw all my leftovers away.
Good
I ain't want no leftovers. I ain't want no Thanksgiving food. I ain't have nothing to be thankful for. And that's how depressed I was this weekend. Because it was very disappointing to watch the game start off the way it started. Even though I did think they started too fast, for some reason I was like, I feel like this is too fast. They're scoring too many points too soon, and it's giving Syracuse enough time. They have enough time to come back.
Right.
So it hurt my heart. And I know a lot of UM fans are disappointed. It reminds me of the 2017 season when they went 10-0 and lost the last two games of the year. Pretty much the same thing. This was disappointing. There's nothing else you could say.
Right. There's really no other way to explain anything. Anyone could be mad, especially when it comes to the playoff stuff. That's fine. And like I said, we'll get to that in a second. But they put themselves in a terrible position. Three games left in the season. They lost two of the last three, Georgia Tech and Syracuse. And they kind of knocked themselves out at that point. I want to ask you this. As a quarterback, obviously you're a leader of a team. Whether you're vocal leader, on the field leader, whatever the case is, you're one of the leaders of the team. That was you when you played also. Comes down to that final kind of drive where Miami had the ball and kicked a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down. I heard a lot of stuff on the radio, and I heard a lot of stuff nationally saying Cam Ward should have spoke up, gotten coach's face, and said, give me the ball, and I'm the best player in the field right now. Let it be in my hands. And for some reason, incomplete pass, short on the goal line, if they ran the ball, it would be a long field, and still the defense would have to make a stop there. Are you the kind of player that would have went up in the coach's face or been okay with the decision? Because I feel like it's a double-edged sword there because you don't want to, you know, disrespect a coach, but I get the passion if you're the quarterback and the leader of the team. And in Cam Ward's sake and most quarterback's sake, probably the best player in the field at the time.
Yeah, it is a double-edged sword. It's kind of tough. I remember it happened to me twice in two instances. We played University of South Florida. I think that was my junior year, and we lost. And we were winning 17 to 17. All we needed to do was kick a field goal. It was like third and two. And out, me, Coach Shannon, we was on the sideline. We was like, hey, coach, I could just run quarterback sweep right just to get it off the hash and put it right in the middle for Matt Bosher to come in and kick the game-winning field goal. And we're good. It was like 17 seconds, like I said. And Coach Whipple instead was like, oh no, we're going to run such and such play, throw it to Hank. So I'm like, huh? What you mean throw it to Hank? Throw what? We don't need to throw the ball. Just put, we need to get the first down. Forget the first down. I'm about to curse, but forget the first down. It's third and two. Let me just run quarterback sweep right, center the ball. We're on like the 30-yard line. We got the best kicker in the ACC. He could kick this field goal and we go home and it is. Instead, he called a pass play. I would say I did because I knew going into that week against South Florida that they run cover two on third and two. On third and two, they're going to run cover two no matter what. They're going to have the cornerback ride the outside X receiver and then he's going to jump anything coming out. They did exactly that. I gave my receiver, I changed the play, I changed the pass concept to just a vertical and a out route to Hank. And I know they was going to jump Hank and I was going to hit the hole shot. Unfortunately, my receiver ran the wrong route. And as I'm throwing the ball, I see him running a post. And so it came out and ended up being an interception and we lost in overtime. But at the end of the day, we'd have never been in that position if Coach listened to us. Because Coach Shannon was just like, hey, look, he'd OC, do as he say. That happened. And it's like, I understand Cam can be vocal and say certain things, but there's only so much you can say when you have somebody else calling the plays and they're in a certain position.
I get it. I totally get it. And I hear what, the people on TV and the radio guys and everyone are saying at that point. So it just made me think about it. I'm glad you actually had. I'm sorry it ended up that way, obviously, but I'm glad you were in that.
It's
There's two. So give me the other one. Let me hear it.
another time we played in the Sun Bowl against Notre Dame, and they were calling out every last play we had, and we had no audibles. We had no audibles. Coach would not let the quarterback audible. I'm standing up. I'm like, Coach, they know the play. And he's like, run the effing play. Pick. I'm like, who you want me to throw it to? I'm getting rushed. I'm trying to deliver the best ball I can. It's a three-step quick concept. And then he ended up calling the same play with Stephen Morris went in, called the same play, and Stephen threw a pick on the same play, and Stephen cussed him out. And he was like, yo, you keep calling the play, they know the play. Because he never adjusted, which was, I don't want to bash or anything like that, but we
I
never
get
had
it.
audibles. Never had audibles, never adjusted. So it's kind of hard. Luckily in Cam Ward's situation there, Shannon Dawson is a great offensive coordinator, and I'm pretty sure he would have listened. But ultimately, Mario probably got the last say so in that. And we can't say first of all, we shouldn't have been in that position. That's
I
all.
agree. Totally agree.
And once you put yourself in that position, it's a lot of things that you just is out of your control. Just like us losing, period, against Georgia Tech or Syracuse. Once you give the committee or anybody else a computer or anything the opportunity to control your destiny, that's when you're losing.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, you nailed that because that's it. All you do is you win one of those two games, and there's no debate.
There's no debate.
Miami and SMU are playing Saturday at 8 p.m. It's
And no matter if
100%.
you lost, and if you lost that game, you'll be in the playoffs.
It's not even a question at that point what would have happened because they would have been in the playoffs at that point, even one loss and not both. So you're right. You put yourself in that position, you let someone off determine your future, and that's going to be it at that point, especially when it comes down to, all right, there's one team we got to put in that 12 spot. We got Miami on the left and Alabama on the right. I just think there is a bias. Listen, you know me, I'm a Florida guy. There's SEC blood in me a little bit, but I still didn't think Alabama's resume was better than Miami's. If it was up to me, Miami would have been in it. And without bias at that point, you just have to look. One team's got three losses. One team's got two. Miami's had two not bad losses in the last couple of weeks, but still losses. And I get it. But Alabama did just get their you-know-whats kicked by Oklahoma, who's a bad team this year, 24-3. And they lost to – who else did they lose to this year? Vandy. Right. They lost to Vanderbilt this year also.
Yeah, so it's like – It's kind of hard because Alabama is Alabama. I guess it's based on the name and SEC and all that stuff. But then when you got their former coach, Nick Saban, tweeting and vouching for why Miami should be the team to come in, that says a lot right there. That says a lot in itself. Yeah, I know he has a new job to where he can't be biased, but he completely was just like he made a whole comment about how Miami is deserving of being in that last spot and everything. But you just can't put yourself in those shoes. Right. But and Alabama, I'm gonna be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama end up in the national championship.
Oh right, no. I listen. That's the thing also that the other 11 teams need to worry about, the fact that Alabama gets hot right now and wins a game or two, like they're gonna win the championship. Like they'll be there.
If they play anything like they played against Georgia. They're going to beat everybody that's in front of them.
I totally agree.
And I could have said the same thing about Miami. If their defense played like they played against Florida, they would beat everybody that was in front of them. Because that offense is unstoppable. You could slow them down, but it's kind of hard to stop that offense from scoring like that. So, you know, man, it's unfortunate not to see them in the playoffs and not to see them have the opportunity to go against greater talent. Not saying that the talent they played against wasn't good, but and I do feel like the teams that eight overtime Georgia Tech game should have been a determining factor to say, hey, Alabama lost to these teams and got blown out. Miami lost to Georgia Tech and Syracuse, who are also good teams that should be ranked.
100%
should be ranked. So it's like it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and Syracuse had a big win, by the way, over Georgia Tech earlier in the season, too. So that just says it all right there.
The ACC, I think the ACC starts looking bad because everybody's beating up on each other.
Right.
But when they go out of conference, they're beating up on the Kentuckys. The Louisville beat the mess out of Kentucky.
Right.
So, and Ole Miss complaining about why they didn't get in, but Louisville beat Kentucky and they lost to Kentucky.
Right.
So it's like, what are you talking about?
it's a wild scenario, but I think you summed it up perfectly by just saying if you're going to put yourself in that position to where someone has to determine your fate, and there's other teams around here, especially the blue blood Alabamas of the world and teams like that, you're not going to win those battles, and it sucks and it stinks and it's probably not fair, but it doesn't matter anymore about that. Miami now looking to see what kind of bowl game they will be in at that point. By the way, a little sidebar to that. I saw someone, one of the college football writers, say, if Miami's not going to be in the playoff, give everybody what they want to see. Put Miami and Colorado in a bowl game against each other and have Shador Sanders and Cam Ward kind of fight it out for that number one spot. Right. Your face says it all right there. That'd be fun, right?
Hey, it would be fun, but I'm going to tell you this. Neither one of them, I think, are going to play in the game.
They shouldn't.
If it's not the college playoffs, and y'all should have been in the playoffs, I wouldn't even play in the bowl game.
Right. I think not saying
in this landscape right now.
Yeah.
To where you're about to be the number one and number two quarterback. Both of these guys about to be the number one and number two quarterbacks taken. There's no reason for y'all to even play in that bowl game if y'all not in the playoffs. There's nothing else to prove.
Right. You know what stinks?
If it was ACC championship, I understand.
Different story. Playoffs, yeah. But I think what stinks most, and I think that considering the fact that me and you have been talking about him for so long now, it stinks the fact that I think we saw Cam Ward's last game in a Hurricane uniform, and it wasn't in the ACC championship or wasn't in the playoff. And it could be done. You know, like that's it. Like, And it stinks because it was such a fun season to watch. I know that there were three or four times where we were sweating it out, you know, into the last second of the game or comebacks and this and that. But that's a fun season. It's an entertaining season, and they almost got to where they needed to get to. But instead, it's such a dark cloud now over the program, because the program is not in shambles, but just about the team right now because of where they should be and what they should be doing this weekend, and they're not. It stinks.
Yeah, it does stink, and I didn't even think about that. That is a sad moment because Cam was a great quarterback, man.
Right.
He's going to be in the Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame, whatever it is for University of Miami. I'm pretty sure his name's going to go up there.
Right.
He's probably the best quarterback that's come out of the University of Miami. So it's like, you know, I hope he gets an opportunity to go ahead in the NFL and produce and be the same type of player he was here at the University of Miami, because he was special. He was a special kid.
Right, right. And it could be over. We're not sure. We don't have, me and Ja'Cory don't have news yet. We're not breaking news and saying Cam Ward's not going to play. But if we're betting men right now, I'd probably bet on the fact that if they get to the Pop-Tarts Bowl, you're not going to see Cam Ward in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Like, that's...
Yeah, at all.
That's what I would think there. All right, so with that said, obviously, we're talking...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Talking about the playoff situation and that, but the recruiting stuff came out this week too. It's a weird week because in the midst of all this, the recruiting stuff came out. They got a top 15 class, not a top 10 class. They did pick up some good players, no doubt about that as well. But it's weird, too, that they had so many flips in this last couple of days, right up until the recruiting, the National Recruiting Day and the end of the day. They didn't do a bad job. Mario's had top 10 classes the last 2 years, now a top 15 class. That quarterback position, though, is going to be a spot that you're going to have to recover from. And they're going to have, a bunch of the older guys leaving as well. I don't think this team is going to take that big of a drop unless they don't get someone to fulfill that position, your position, that quarterback position. I just saw that Reese Poff, I don't know his last name. I'll say it and I'd butcher it. He's now in the transfer portal. So we'll see what happens with him. Emery Williams still on this team and this and that, but that's an important position, especially the way after Cam played, to fulfill and get it filled immediately so you don't have any problems going into next season.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough situation. Even though I think the guys behind him are pretty good, I just don't know, based on their skill sets, are they built for that type of offense?
Right.
It might be a lot of tweaking and things that Shannon Dawson might have to do going forward with the guys that he have, but they're pretty decent quarterbacks. We just haven't had an opportunity to see full body of work with them playing. It's unfortunate. I did like Reese watching him in the spring. I also tweeted I thought Miami had one of the best quarterback rooms in the country, after seeing them in the springtime. So I think they got a kid, Judd Anderson, tall, lanky kid, but he could throw that rock too.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting seeing him, because I believe they don't fit in that type of system. The quick hot throws, the screens, the this. They look more like pro style quarterbacks that can, play action, take a 5-step drop, deliver the ball, read the field and everything. So we'll see. They might prove everybody wrong as well. Cause I'm not saying that they're not be able to fulfill Cam's shoes, but those are some big size 18 shoes to fill right now. And he's done an excellent job with this program, and it's going to be tough. Because, one, the most important thing, I don't know if we got enough money to buy all the DBs, but we need some DBs and linebackers, because I don't like talking about kids or anything like that, because I never want a kid, something I say to affect the kid in the situation where they you know, happen to him. But we got to tighten up. I remember the first game of the season, I thought that kid number 7 was going to be all world. And then to see these guys just absolutely torch them,
right.
that is like you would. We've always known Miami to be fast and 4-3, 4-2 guy. So there's no way that our DBs should be guys catching over routes and just see the separation. Number two probably runs a 4-7 for Syracuse, and he was like outrunning these guys, and it's like, wait, what is going on? Miami is no longer have speed. Like, so that's what I see on the defense. Is we got to get some faster DBs. I don't care if the guy catches the ball, at least make the tackle,
right?
Slow them down, something. I don't like seeing that where they catching and they getting 100 yards after contact and everything. Right. So,
well, I think it's just unfortunate in every aspect, the fact that this offense was so good this year and this defense was so bad at times. And I don't mean bad, like the worst in the country, but they just played at times like they were just an undisciplined team. Tackling wasn't great. The DBs, like you said, were not up to speed when it comes to this Miami Hurricane team. And if the defense was just a little bit better, I know that you got a message midway through the season, you know, on one of your grades and this and that. But I'll tell you what, we were being nice. If we go back and look at what we graded them in that first time when you gave them like a B- or whatever it was, because the last couple weeks of the season, Ja'Cory, they were a D. They were a D the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. They were bad.
Yeah, it was very confusing, especially after the Georgia Tech game. I was confused on what was going on. Like,
right.
you watch the game, you see the same defense, the same bad adjustments happening the entire game.
Right.
And it's like, are the kids not listening? Or is it something that's going on with the coach? He's just not changing anything. So you never know until you're in that room with them. So that's why I can't point fingers at anything.
Right.
Because like I said, I remember seeing it with Mark D'Onofrio my last year at UM, where I was like, okay, what's going on with our defense? We scoring, we doing this, we doing that. But we getting scored on as well, and they're scoring more points to us to win the games.
Right.
And then you'll see him, he'll go on film, and he'll be like, and I remember everybody outside of the program would be like, hey, fire Mark D'Onofrio. But when we watch in film, we start seeing, okay, it's guys that want to make plays and not follow their assignments.
Right.
Guys that's like, I'm trying to make it to the league. Forget what I'm supposed to. I might supposed to be a distraction. I might supposed to be a decoy. But I see the ball, so I'm going to try to go get the ball.
Right.
And that's not your job. And now we got a big play, a big gain, and all that stuff. So we don't know what it is. None of us are in those rooms. We can only speculate. So it's kind of hard making speculations. But from what I can see, it's bad.
Yeah. Listen, Ja'Cory,
I'm only saying it's bad because for us to say that we're a top 12 program and supposed to be in the college football playoffs, we can't look like that defensively.
Right.
No matter what.
Well, I mean, Ja'Cory, I'm looking through the schedule right now, so I'll take out the first couple games of the season. Florida, although the defense versus Florida was excellent, excellent in that game. So that one I'm taking out of that was their A-plus game or A game. I'll give them that. FAMU, I'm taking out. Ball State, I'm taking out. South Florida only scored 15. Then Virginia Tech, and these are all wins, but this is what the defense gave up. Virginia Tech scored 34. Cal scored 38. Louisville scored 45. Duke scored 31, Wake Forest scored only 14, but Georgia Tech Beachin scored 28, and Syracuse just scored 42. Ja'Cory, that defense is not a good defense. If you're giving up that many points, I don't care how good your offense is, you should be winning games the way that they did in the beginning of the season, 41-17 or 50-15. You're giving up 30 plus points a game, and in some games 40, you're not going to win a lot of games like that.
You can't keep up, and eventually, you know, you keep putting the bad oil in the car, eventually it's going to run out.
Absolutely.
Eventually right. It's going to run out. You can't keep expecting the offense to keep driving this thing and you're not feeding them with the proper, you know, support that they need to keep this going. Like,
right.
It's like you will go out there and score a touchdown and next thing you know, here they go, no rest.
Boom, right.
The other team is scoring. It's like, dang, okay, now we go out there and have a slow methodical drive and we drive all the way down to give y'all a break to and about 15 plays, we score, and then boom, they throw a deep pass and they score in 2-3 plays. The offense can't keep up with that. Right. And it's like I said, it's unfortunate. It is sad.
Ja'Cory, I'm sad. Ja'Cory, I'm sad. Like I have notes to talk about, and I don't want to talk about anything because I'm just sad at this point because it's just such a fun season. And to end like that, like with a thump, with a thud, you know, getting, you know, we're driving on the Palmetto and someone hit us in the back. You know, like that's what I feel right now. Right.
I almost feel like I would rather feel like Florida State right now. They knew they had no chance. They had no chance of being good after a certain period of time in the year. Right. So it's kind of like I would rather feel that way than we get to the end of the season where now we could be braggadocious and we could talk our junk to everybody and we end up start losing 2 out of 3. Now it's like I go and I buy me a UM shirt couple days ago and I'm like, dang, I know it's my school, but dang, I'm scared to wear this now.
Right. And it was it's probably 20% off also at this point.
Yeah. Right? I want the conversation to get started about what happened to them. Cause I remember walking around mid-season on a plane headed up to DC and everybody on the plane, hey, let's go UM. This is people from different parts of the world of United States. That's like, hey, I love the UM. They're doing good. I didn't even go there. I'm from New York. I'm from this part. Like, and then that's going to die down. So
9-0 to start the season and end the season 10-2 and not in the ACC and not in the playoff. That's a terrible way to end the season. I don't care what anyone says. They can sugarcoat it all they want. You could put a cherry on top and whipped cream, and it still is a bad feeling at this point. Right now for that. All right, real quickly, I'm going to get a couple predictions out of you before we get you out of here, because I know, listen, we got Ja'Cory on coming back on next week. We'll talk more college football, but my man's going away for a couple days, so we're going to let him get in his vacation very quickly here. My firefighter brother in right there, Ja'Cory Harris. Georgia and Texas, who do you like there?
I like Georgia to beat Texas.
So do I. I don't know why, but I love Georgia to beat Texas there. Right.
I think Georgia is going to come in prepared. They're going to come in prepared, and they're going to be ready to put a spanking on Texas.
Yep, I agree. What about Penn State and Oregon? Number one undefeated Oregon all season long.
Oregon is going to beat Penn State probably 42-14.
Oh, big one. Okay.
I never liked Penn State.
Right. I know, right? Never.
I don't even know why Nittany Lions are even ranked that high every year. It don't even make sense.
Shout out to O.J. McDuffie and Kajana Carter. I know they both listen to the podcast. Yeah. We love you. We're just not big fans of Penn State.
O.J. McDuffie, my bad, O.J.
No, I love – O.J.'s been our brother for 100 years. I love O.J. He knows that we're not big Penn State fans. That's fine. And last one and the sad one, Clemson and SMU. Who do you like there?
It's kind of like that. I want SMU to win.
Right.
Because of all the guys that was from UM that left and they're balling. It's like they make a statement. Rhett Lashley, him being, you know, he was coaching here at UM and things didn't look as good as it does over there. So it's like, and they're like the underdogs of the year, the Cinderella story of the year. I want them to win. Right. I don't think Clemson has, it's not the Clemson of back in the days of last couple of years and all that stuff. So I think Cabe Klubnik is going to end up handing one over to SMU.
Yep. I love Rhett Lashley. I loved him when he was here, and I like the fact that he was at SMU. The fact that they got into the ACC, and the sad part is if they do win, they'll be in the ACC 1 year and won an ACC championship. Canes have been in there for like 20 and haven't won one ACC. Yep. It just sucks. It just sucks. All right. Well, listen. We'll end on that note. It's been a dreary podcast because we're both pissed off. We're both not happy. But the good part is that I'm sending Ja'Cory on vacation for a couple days here. So I'm not telling you where he's going, folks. He's going on vacation. Leave him alone if you see him.
All expense paid trip by Crances Corner.
Right. Crances Corner is sending him on vacation. We have a very low budget here, but we saved money up all season long. You know how you save change in like the gallon jug? I've been doing it all season long, and I finally cashed it in so we could send Ja'Cory on vacation for a couple days.
All on black.
That's it. Just don't even tell me if you win or not. Just put it all on. So there's a guess on what Ja'Cory might be doing if we're talking about a roulette table at that point. All right. Listen, Ja'Cory, go have a great time. I know it's going to suck when we watch college football this weekend and see stuff. And then when they make the full real announcement after the weekend of the playoff stuff and where all this, it's just going to stink to see that, especially when you find out that Miami's going to be playing in a bowl game. Hopefully at that point we get to see probably not Cam Ward, but maybe some of the other guys one more time, like Restrepo and guys like that. But it's possible we have seen the last of them all, which is crazy.
The only hope that we have is if Alabama's quarterback, Jalen Milroe, somehow either pulls out the game or somehow tweaks his toe and they say he can't play it in the game. He can't. He's not going to be ready for the playoffs.
Right.
And that has to happen now.
Right.
That's the only way. The same way they did Florida State last year, kept them out because of quarterback. That is the only hope that Miami has. If that happened, I think they'll be like, all right, get out of here, Alabama.
Right, right. Is Cam Ward still on campus? If he's still on campus, you know, let's put Miami
tell him
there. Don't go to the pro factory yet to get ready. Just keep him around at that point. That's good. Ja'Cory, go have a great time on vacation. Say hi to the family for me, as always. We'll get back next week. We'll talk some more college football. We'll talk some more bowl games and stuff. And we'll still probably be dreary about the fact that the Canes are in the playoff. But go have a good time.
I will, man. Have a good night, man, and tell the family I said hello.
You know I always do. That's my man, Ja'Cory Harris. This is Krantz's Corner presents the Ja'Cory Harris Show. I know we sounded sad today, but we're glad you listen and glad you support us, as always. We'll talk to you again next week. For Ja'Cory, I'm Zach. Have a great weekend, and I don't even care who wins this weekend. At this point, it doesn't even matter. We're both sad. Right. Anyway, so that's it. So have a good one, and we'll speak to you again next week here on Krantz's Corner.
Go Canes.